Good morning. What a delightful time to be in the house of the Lord. We're a blessed folk here way out on the edge of the world to have a place where we can go. And in our Bible class, hear the gospel preached, in our fellowship, speak of Christ. And here during this hour, we can think about the things of Christ, and preach Christ. The person who brought me the gospel had this to say about preaching. Every message needs to have some parts to it. Number one, ruined by the fall. Number two, redeemed by Christ. And number three, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Well, last week we spent some time on those folks who began to make excuse when the post came around and shared with them the good news that Cyrus, appointed of God, named by God 200 years before he was born. And Jeremiah wrote that after 70 years, the children of Benjamin and Judah would be able to go home. And then we found there was a bunch that remained, those that remaineth. We'd like to continue with those this morning and title our message, The Rest. The Rest. So if you turn with me to the book of Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1. We're going to look at that same verse that we looked at last Sunday. And it is Ezra chapter 1 verse 4. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, where he's been here, whether it's been just for a short time, just freshly born, been here for 20 years, 40 years, 60 years, or all the 70 years, where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold, with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. We'd like to look at this verse 4 again. Whosoever remaineth. Who were these that remained? Last week we looked at they began, everyone, to make an excuse. And no doubt those posts heard many excuses given by these folks why they didn't need to go back to Jerusalem. They were fine where they are. They could just worship God in the hills, and they could worship God at their fireplace. They could worship God in their business. They could worship God anywhere. And there was no need for them to go home. And by the way, they were very pleased with what God had given them. God had blessed them and given them a business. God had blessed them, given them property. God had blessed them, given them a job. But that's as far as it went. God is so good. How many times have you heard that? God is good. Well, let me ask, when's God bad? Never a time. Who were these that remained? Is not every person by nature one that remaineth, one that desires to set up their resting place on this side of the land of promise? There are some illustrations in Scripture about those who remaineth. Would you turn with me as we listen to some of the complaints of Israel after they were set free? That word free, set free from Egypt, after God had purposed them to be in bondage for 400 years after the 9 plagues, after the Passover, after they were set free, they had watched the entire Egyptian army drowned in the Red Sea behind them. They'd gone through the Red Sea dry shod. They didn't need muck boots on. They went through there. The ground was dry after it had been wet for all those hundreds and hundreds of years, and yet they went through on dry ground. They got onto the opposite side of the Red Sea. They watched that entire Egyptian army, all the chariots, all the soldiers, the Pharaoh himself, drowned as God caused those waters to fall back on them. They get out into the wilderness there that God is directing them. He is a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He's protecting them. He's going to take care of them. He has called them his people. He has said they're going to go back to the promised land. They'll go there and live. They'll have a place that floweth with milk and honey. And as we move farther ahead, we find that when they sent those spies in, the produce that was there was boggling to the mind. It took 2 men to carry a bunch of grapes. What a great place to go. Who were these that remained? They were those by nature that remained and had no desire to set up a resting place in Jerusalem or in the land of promise. Now, going over here to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 11. The children of Israel had just got out into the wilderness, and this is what they say. They didn't remember that every day they were up to their knees in mud, every day they were carrying tons of straw, every day they were carrying gallons of water, every day they were carrying lots of mud or dirt to stomp into clay, every day they were drying the bricks, every day they were hauling the bricks, every day they were in labor, 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 labor. And yet, the first thing out of their mouth is, "We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, and the lemons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. We remember this. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." From a spiritual standpoint, that's like someone telling the preacher, the Bible class teacher, or members of a body that preaches Christ, "Is this all they're going to preach?" And we may say, "What do you mean? Is this all they're going to preach? Is all you're going to preach is Christ?" And the answer is, yes, that's all we're going to preach. Well, that's not enough. What do you want? Well, I want counsel. I want godly living. I want how to treat my wife. I want how to treat my husband. I want how to raise the kids. I want a place they can play basketball. I want a place where they can go to a Christian school, and all these things that are brought up. Well, Christ is not enough. When they have Christ, when a person has Christ, they have the most wonderful counselor. That's his name, Counselor. So as we look here, Numbers chapter 11, verse 5, we remember, we look back. One of the reasons that they could say that is in their heart, they really never left Egypt. That's why we find so many people are tied up with legalism. They never left the law. They never saw grace. And so these folks that remaineth, they're settled where they are. Another example that we find is found in the book of Genesis. Genesis, we read last week about Lot talking to his sons-in-law and Lot talking to his daughters, and they mocked him. They just made fun of him, and they could say all sorts of things, and preachers have said it for them, but they just had no interest in leaving Sodom and no interest in leaving Gomorrah. Now, after Lot and his two daughters and his wife leave that plagued place, God has already spoken through his messengers, "We're going to destroy this place." He and his wife and his daughters are the only ones that leave, and they're instructed, don't look back, but Genesis chapter 19 and verse 26, "But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." She really never left Sodom. Oh, she had family there. She had concerns there. She had her business there. She had her home there. She had everything there. So she never really was leaving for the right reason. She was lost as a goose. She had no hope in God, no hope in Christ. And no doubt it broke Lot's wife, broke Lot's heart when that happened, but he kept going. He wasn't going to take a pillar of salt. Those who desire to return, returned. In the book of Acts, chapter 26, as we think about these that remaineth, who were these that remaineth? These were those that remembered the fish, the cucumbers. They couldn't remember the bondage. Those permitted to go back to Jerusalem under Cyrus, there was liberty, there was peace, there was freedom. They could go back. They could go back to Jerusalem, go back to the land of promise. Here in the back, in the book of Acts, chapter 26, And there in verse 28, after Paul has spoke to King Agrippa a great deal and brought up the message of Christ, preached Christ unto him. Verse 23 says that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Paul was preaching Christ. And in verse 28, this has been a very misrepresented passage of Scripture. Oh, he's on the very edge of becoming a Christian. Let's read this. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, if we look that up in its original form, we find Paul has preached Christ, and Agrippa was almost ready to embrace Christianity. He's almost ready to change from a pagan religion to Christianity. Miles are between them, between Christianity and Christ. He was satisfied to sit where he was or become religious. He would become religious. He would move there. Almost, I'm ready to become religious in this new religion. He's just about ready. He's been a Ford driver for all his life. He's fought over that. He's argued with his family over that. But he's almost convinced to buy a Dodge Ram. He'll go against the grain of all his family. He'll go against the grain of what he's used to, but he's almost there. He's almost. You know, being a Baptist never saved a soul. I don't know how many people have told me I'm a Baptist or I'm a Methodist. Or my father, my mother, my grandparents never saved a soul. Being a creationist never saved a soul. How many people put such great stock in being a creationist that God created everything, and yet they are evolutionists when it comes to salvation? They believe by their own power they can raise themselves out of the muck and mire that the evolutionists teach. Evolution did not start in a student in a classroom, a science classroom, or by a scientist. It started in religion. If we look at Cain, there after the fall in the Garden of Eden, he did nothing more than preach evolution. By my power, I can rise to a different level. Well, we know that's not true, but when we are saved by the grace of God, we have no question about who created the heavens and the earth, but we also have no question who created our spiritual life. So, being a creationist never saved a soul. I believe God created the heavens and the earth, but when it came to my own life, my own soul, I believe in free will. So, it didn't save a soul. Being a believer in Calvinism has never saved a soul. Being strict about where I go to church, I believe in the 5 points, I believe in TULIP. Really? If we don't come to Christ, if we don't have Christ as the issue, Christ as our Savior, we don't really believe in total depravity. We believe in depravity, but in my case, as one man told me, in my case, I'm one of those rare birds that never had to hear the gospel, never had to hear that I was a sinner. Though that's just too rare a bird. Being a pastor or a Bible class teacher, a missionary, nice person, never saved a soul. Taking care of folks never saved a soul. Trusting that only reveals that we are satisfied in remaining where we are with only a few modifications. We will do this. Bargain with God. We'll do this if you'll do that. God is not in the bargaining business. Never has been. Never will be. There was no bargain in the covenant of grace that was made before the foundation of the world. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit didn't bargain over it. They just decreed it. In the book of Numbers, we have a wonderful thought here with regard to many of the children of Israel. In fact, 2.5 tribes. Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Would you turn there with me as we look at this? There's 33 verses here, and I won't read all of them. I'll let you take care of that. But this is an account of 2.5 tribes of Israel being satisfied to stay on this side of Jordan. Numbers chapter 32, beginning with verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest, and said unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Araroth, and Dibon, and Jazer, and Nimrath, and Heshbon, and Elilah, and Shebam, and Nebo, and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. We're satisfied with this side of Jordan. We have all this stuff. We have our religion. We're Jews. We have our possessions. They've been given to us by God. We've been blessed. And their eyes started looking around, and they saw this prairie, this well-watered plain, this place for cattle. And guess what? Moses, have you ever looked at our herds, how good they are? How wonderful they are? We have cattle. So, what did they say? And bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Notice the description that Moses makes of the land of going over Jordan. This is what the Lord hath given them, and you are going to be satisfied with this side, as they said, and bring us not over Jordan. This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. They went and spied it out and came back and says, it's a beautiful land, but we can't take it. The people are too big. There's too much to do. We can't make it. And two, who the Spirit of God dwelt in. What does that mean? God had saved them by His grace. They understood that God's word meant something, that they were not going to be left desolate. You know, people come to me and say, boy, if I could just see the ark, if I could just see the ark, I'd believe. Sorry, they won't. The scriptures tell us that if they'll not believe Moses and the prophets, they'll not believe though one raised from the dead. They'll not believe Christ if they'll not believe Moses and the prophets. That means the word of God revealed to them in this word about Christ. So they went in, they discouraged the people that the land that the Lord had given them, and the Lord's anger was kindled. And so finally, these 2.5 tribes, as Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh is finally mentioned in this passage of scripture, it tells us down here, they'll go in and they'll do the fighting, but they'll not stay. We'll go and pretend to be like you are, but when it's over, we'll go back. We're not going to stay in there. We have cattle, as you've noticed, and they're good cattle, as you've noticed, but we will not go with them. And so in verse 33, and Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, and unto the half the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and the land, with the cities thereof in the coast, even the cities of the country round about. Now it's interesting that when God gave the cities of refuge, He gave 3 cities in that area. There were going to be some elect there. Even though they wanted to stay, they were stubborn folks. They didn't want to go in. There was just too much. in their life that they couldn't give up. Why? Because they'd never seen Christ. As the Lord spoke unto them, unto the children of Israel, in the book of Deuteronomy it's recorded, he said, I did not give you a heart to believe. And he hadn't given these folks a heart to believe. There might have been a few there said, we should go in, but we'll stay with the rest of the folks. So is this account found in Numbers chapter 32 is the account of 2.5 tribes being satisfied to stay on this side of Jordan. We'll go over and fight. And it can be said by nature, every person is a Reubenite. By nature, every person is a Reubenite who desires to set up his resting place on this side of the land of promise. We will pay our tithes. We will even write letters to our congressmen about editing God out of school. But we are happy just to stay where we are. Oh, when the time comes, I'll provide some food for the hungry. When the time comes, I'll even pay a motel room for the tired, or offerings for the poor, clothes for the naked, or I'll even get involved in education for the uneducated. But we are happy where we are. No more commitment. Place of no rest. There is no rest outside of Christ. It doesn't matter what name we have over our door. It doesn't matter what we say about our religion or ourself. We have no rest outside of Christ. And those 2.5 tribes had no rest. There would be a few, just like there is everywhere. There will be a few in every generation that are the elect of God. And God will make sure they hear the gospel, and God will make sure they come to the promised land, come to Christ. In the book of Micah, Micah chapter 2, Micah chapter 2, would you turn there with me as we look at this passage of scripture in Micah chapter 2 and verse 10, Micah chapter 2 and verse 10. This is a commentary on sitting down where there's no rest. The command is arise. The command is depart. For here is no rest. There in the Persian Empire, those who remain, there is no rest. Can you imagine staying under that? Oh, a little liberty is given, but we're going to adhere to our old standards. We'll still be religious. We'll still argue with these Persians over religion. We'll still help out our folks. They're going to pay gold and silver and animals for these folks that are leaving. And that's enough. We've done our part. We are religious. We've supported the poor children in Africa. We send a few little offerings there. We've never investigated where the money goes, but we'll do that. On and on it goes. I'll support this church, but I'm not going to get involved. I'd prefer to stay home most of the time. Once in a while, I'll go down there and hear the gospel, but every time it upsets me, so I'll just stay here. And here in the book of Micah, chapter 2 and verse 10, arise ye and depart. For this is not your rest, because it is polluted. What does that mean? Well, there's some bad in with the good. There's some yeast in the good. There's some sin mixed in this. There's some self-righteousness mixed in this. We have a little self-righteousness. I remember singing a hymn. It's in our green book here. And in there it mentions if there is one thread, if we put one of our own threads in the robe of righteousness, we don't have the robe of righteousness. Christ will only give his righteousness, none of ours. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. It doesn't matter how good it was to natural man, how beneficial it was to other folks. It is polluted. There is pollution. We would not drink water that's polluted if we could help it. We'd not eat meat that was polluted. Not long ago, a man came to me and he'd killed a deer late at night. And he didn't get it dressed out. He didn't get the hide off of it. And he found it the next day. And he took the shoulders off and the hindquarters off and skinned it out. And then he come to me and he said, what do you think? Would that meat be safe? And my comment to him is, do you have time to be sick? No. Well, there's the answer. I'm not going to take a test of it. I'm not going to try it. Now, it may have been good. I don't know. But I'm not going to eat it. Well, it's polluted. Water's polluted. We pay billions of dollars a year to drink water that's not polluted. And yet, when it comes to our eternal soul, we'll take pollution. We'll say Christ and righteousness and blood and whatever it takes. So Micah wrote, arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with sore destruction. Staying where you are, my friends, staying in this station where you are, will destroy you. And it will be a sore destruction. Hear what the Lord said to those goats on the left-hand side. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. To those who moved out, those God tested, excuse me, those who God sent the Spirit and stirred them and caused them to go, he said to them on the right hand, welcome to the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Those who were stirred, those who move, those who leave for Jerusalem are those chosen and redeemed with whom Christ is all precious and a rock of safety. Would you back up a little bit here in the book of Micah, from the book of Micah to the book of Isaiah? There's an interesting verse of scripture here in the book of Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4. The prophet Isaiah, and this passage has been so mangled by commentators and preachers. First time I heard it read was by a man who knew nothing. And he's telling me about what's going to happen in the future. And he's looking at this from a literal standpoint. And he has the idea, and it's interesting. To a lost person, they'll believe anything. And he was believing this. But let's look at this verse of scripture from a spiritual standpoint. And it says, in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. That word seven women means everybody. By nature, seven, the complete number, the absolute whole, the total. Seven women shall take hold of one man. Now notice what they say, saying, we will eat our own bread. Seven women are addressing this. The entire human race is addressing this to the Lord. They conclude their statement. I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit there. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. We need your name because we're not called very good names if we don't have it. Well, what do they say? We will eat our own bread. We do not want the bread of life, and we'll wear our own apparel. We don't want the robe of righteousness, but we do want your name. Now, everybody is a Christian in America, except those who are moving in, it seems. Everybody. My parents, my grandparents, my children, everybody. I was told when I was in religion, if I didn't have my kids saved by the age of 6 years old, I was a poor pastor. That is just right out. Understand nothing about the gospel. And religion has trained us. We can have our own bread. We'll eat our own bread. We'll have our own Jesus. We'll have our own righteousness. But we need the name. So I'm going to be called Christian. How many folks fall into that very place? There is no rest there, as Micah brought out. And again, in the book of Romans, chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, this is brought up. God spoke of these folks that stayed back. God spoke of these folks that didn't want to go. God spoke of those folks of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. They don't take us over the Jordan. We'll go fight. We'll pay our price. We'll pay our tithes. We'll join churches, but we want to stay on this side of Jordan. We have too much invested here. In Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, and there verses 6 and 7, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. They just don't mix. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Everybody in type, in picture, in shadow, that left when Cyrus said you can go back, those 42,360 that went back could say, we're leaving by grace. We never did a thing that allows us to deserve going back. We were just the same kind of folks that came into captivity. We're born of the same parents. We have the same genes. We have the same nature that Adam gave us. But those who left are leaving by grace. Those who are staying in works. We'll help. We'll work. We'll share. We'll comfort. But we're not going. And if by grace, it's not of works. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Question. Israel hath not obtained that which it seeketh for. Those folks that stayed, they didn't get the promised land. They didn't get Jerusalem. They didn't get the temple. They didn't get Christ. They didn't get holiness. They didn't get sanctification. They didn't get redemption. They got nothing except their own reward while they stayed there. As Jesus said, they have their reward. He said to Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. But those who remain have their reward. What then? Verse 7 of Romans chapter 11. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which it seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. What does that mean? God in his purpose before the world began. Those he chose in Christ before the world began. Those who were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world began. Those that Christ had written on the palms of his hand before the world began. Those who had been God given to the Lord Jesus, all that the Father giveth me. And those that the Holy Spirit had purposed and planned and decreed to go, all those he decreed to give to the gospel in time, and that he would open them, he would give them the new birth, he would indwell them. This is what we find God does for his people. Those who were stirred. Now there in verse 7 it says, but election hath obtained it. It's not by our merit, it's not by our work, it's because of God. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that gives it to us. And we are given it after we've been raised from the spiritual dead, born again. It goes on to say there, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. That word blinded means callous, became dull, hardened. These are the ones that God leaves alone. These are Reuben, Gad, half the tribe of Manasseh in picture. These are Lot's wife. These are those who stayed in the Persian Empire. Even though they did religious things and helped their religious friends and family, they are the rest. Those who are stirred, those who move, those who leave for Jerusalem are those that Christ chose, redeemed, with whom Christ is all, he's precious, the rock of safety. The rest were blinded. The non-elect, those who were not chosen, and reserved, to whom Christ was a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, who stumbled at the word. The word is the gospel. They stumbled at the gospel. They stumbled at Christ. He's not enough. I must be involved. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. These obtain no mercy, no grace, no faith, no righteousness, and no eternal salvation. And whosoever remaineth are identified as the rest were blinded. They couldn't see Christ. They were blind. Yet, out of all these that stay, God was pleased to stir up and put them in a homeward trek towards Jerusalem. As the Apostle Paul said, that he was pointed towards Christ. Out of all these that said, we'll stay here, we have cattle, look back, because they'd never left. Look for the fish and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the garlic that was in Egypt, never remembering what it was, the treachery that was there, the drudgery that was there. These, out of all those, 42,360 returned. And we say hallelujah. That is a complete number that returned. Just like we find with regard to those that Christ has, there's a number that no man can number. He can number out of every kindred, tribe, people, and tongue. And they will be privileged to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." They're the ones that will say, "When did we do all these things for you?" Those on the left-hand side will say, "We did all those things. We served you. We tithed. We cast out devils. We preached in thy name. We did all those things." And yet they had not Christ. And therefore he shall say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." Well, my friends, I pray that God gives you the grace to head for Christ, to the mark. I press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ. I pray for those that remain. We no doubt have family and friends that are just satisfied with where they are. And, as one man asked me one time in a meeting, he told me about his daughter. She at one time was, she read the Bible and studied with him, and they just had good fellowship, and she just went off in an off direction. She headed off in another direction. She got involved in all sorts of things, and no religion, no need for Christ, no need for the Bible. She just went off. And he said, "Has she committed the unpardonable sin? Is she sinned away her day of grace?" And the only thing I could say is she dead? He says, "No." And I says, "Well, then she hasn't sinned away her day of grace." We pray that God will work a work in all those that seem to. We're not going to create a whole new doctrine for them and say they're just backslidden. The only thing we can say is they never knew to begin with. Well, God's blessing be upon you, and we trust that you'll have a good week. Lord willing, we'll meet with you on Wednesday night. Thank you.